Welcome to the Nobody Guide to Life, where we provide tips and tools for personal growth, personal development, and your spiritual journey that you can use right now in your everyday life. I'm J.A. Plosker. You can always find out more at thenobodyguidetolife.com. Thank you for joining us. Stepping into greatness. We hear that phrase or some version of it all the time. But what does it mean? I think for some people, it's a goal. So their goal is to step into greatness. But for others, maybe it feels like an impossible dream. And for other folks, well, it's what they tell other people to do when they're trying to get a little encouragement. But for my guest today, stepping into greatness isn't just a phrase, but a way of life she takes very seriously. Many people know Sherry Dunleavy as Sherry McCutcheon, a popular media figure in Ohio and West Virginia for over 30 years. She's been an event host, radio host, and news anchor. And now, after age 50, well, she's decided not only to step into greatness, but leap headlong into it. She's now a best-selling author, speaker, and owner of a global business, and her new book, How Can I Help? Your Go-To Guide for Helping Loved Ones Through Life's Difficulties, was written to help people become their best by reaching out beyond fear and helping those they care about. She now calls herself an inspirationista and says she loves sharing with audiences what she's learned about breaking through fear, excuses, and the lies we tell ourselves minute to minute that keep us from our dreams. Welcome to the show, Sherry.
J.A., thank you so much for having me today. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, it is a pleasure. I loved crafting your bio. So an event host, a radio host, a news anchor. That's so wonderful. Tell us about how all of that came together and brought you to this place, to where now you're writing these books on helping others to help others. How did all that come together for
well,
you?
Well, I went to Kent State University, and back then it was a degree in telecommunications. And my goal was to become a PM Magazine reporter, you know, to tell the uplifting and fun stories in life, maybe be a Today
right.
Show host, Entertainment
right.
Tonight, something like that. What happened though, I don't know, curse or blessing, you tell me, I got hired 30 miles from my hometown and started off the first year in weather. And then I got promoted to the main news anchor job, 6 and 11 news. So I was one of the youngest news anchors in the country at the time. And
wow.
So you're promoted to this spot. And so, you know, when you want to move on, you either have to, when you've achieved that so early, you have to start over at entry-level positions again. And I wasn't willing
right.
to do that. I was afraid
right.
of letting go. That's the first thing, you know. So I stayed in as a news anchor for 16 years. And I learned so many things about it. But probably the most important thing I learned about it is that it wasn't the right fit for me. I was wondering why I was miserable and why it didn't sit right with my soul. I liked the lighter news. I didn't like the heavier news, and it really took its
right.
toll on me. But the community that I live in saw me, you know, get married and have my first son, and I was pregnant with my second son, J.A., and that's when we had complications. And it ended up, long story short, my second son died.
Oh,
and that puts everything in perspective. And here I am, you know, in the public eye, and
right.
everyone, you know, is curious about this. And what I really needed to do was go home and heal. But you seek
right.
out your comfort zone. And so I went back to work 2 weeks after he died because I didn't want to be home alone. You know, I knew how to be
right.
a news anchor. I didn't know how to be a grieving
right.
mom. As it would happen, it did not work out. I was crying on the air when the stories were sad and the news was tragic, and it was really attacking my soul, and I needed
right.
to leave. So that's what I did. I, with the help of a wonderful therapist who had to give me permission at the time to leave, I left and went home to heal and raise my son and just try to process things. I was so afraid of who I was going to be if I wasn't that, if I wasn't on the air.
Right.
And it was when my son went to school, well, finally when he was in school, that I became a radio talk show host. And so I had guests 5 days a week, and I absolutely loved it. And I was able to craft what I wanted to do and start becoming more positive. And so, you know, it's all led to where I am now. I had gifts that I had received from being a news anchor, and I just realized that wasn't the right path for me. But that's what I'm saying. Sometimes it's so frightening to make those changes in life.
Well, right. And, you know, it's so interesting. You talked about being there for 16 yes. years, which is a long, you know, it's like a relationship with a person. You get into a relationship with a job, and then some kind of tragedy or difficult event strikes, and it wakes right. us up to what's really going on. Why 16 years, though? What was that job giving you for that time that led you to stay for so long? I'm curious about that.
That's a great question. It was easy.
That's a great answer.
I knew how to do it. And and so we had different things that, you know, we did a 3-day music festival every year that I was the host of. And I did telethons for the local children's hospital. And literally probably the last 5 years of my career, I stayed in just so I could do those events because they were fun. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then I realized I cannot do this anymore. I cannot do this anymore.
Right.
And it's not that the job was bad. It wasn't. It just really wasn't the right fit for me. And sometimes, you know, I just feel that the universe pushes you out or gives you a wake-up call. I remember seeing an interview with Oprah, and she said, you know, sometimes it starts out as a whisper. And if you don't listen, it gets a little stronger, the voice gets louder. And then finally, you know, it becomes an earthquake to get you to move. I guess I have just now decided I'm going to listen to the whisper.
Right. And I loved your answer about it was easy, because it's habitual.
Yes.
Sometimes we mistake habit for ease. And really it sounded like it was actually very difficult emotionally,
yes.
but you could go on autopilot in a lot of ways.
Right. That's why I love to talk to my audiences about comfort zones. It was comfortable there. I was miserable there, but you cannot grow when you are living in a comfort zone. And well, there's no such thing as a comfort zone, because everything's always changing, and we're so busy trying to keep everything the same.
Right. Very wise words. So tell me how all of that brought you to Inspirationista. I love that. And I was looking around your website. I watched you have a YouTube channel, mm-hmm. and you put up these really inspiring videos. Tell me how that came about. What is Inspirationista to you?
It is something that, you know, I knew what my soul was calling me to do, and I didn't see any kind of job description for it. So I made one up.
I love that.
And the whole concept behind it is I am on social media a lot, and I just every day see people saying, I'm out of here. I'm done. It's so negative. Right. And the thing is that you have to look for the positive. It is out there. And what I try to tell people is you have to surround yourself with it. You have to seek it out, and you have to invite it in. Otherwise, the negativity will take over. I don't watch the news anymore. The business that I was in, I don't even participate in it anymore, because I can't. I have to keep my world and uplifted. I have to keep my world beautiful. I have to fill my world with the beauty and the wonderful people that are in it. And I truly believe there are far more wonderful people in this world than there are evil people. But it just shows up all the time. You know, you don't see the wonderful. And I just decided, when I was a radio talk show host, I had an incident happen that I watched The Secret, and I realized the power of thought and the power of energy. And I was doing radio the controversial way, where you dig your heels in on an issue, you don't go, you get people fired up and they call in, right?
Right.
And that still didn't feel good for me, but I didn't know what I was doing then. I was just copying what the other hosts were doing. And then I watched The Secret and I said, oh my gosh, I have a microphone in front of my mouth, not just, you know, what I say and what I do. But if thoughts are things and words produce feeling and I am projecting this energy and amplifying it with a microphone, I have a great responsibility here. And that is what changed it. That is when I started using that power to put good into the universe. And from that point on, that's what I have been trying to do. And that's what I'm about. And that's why I try to inspire people is that, you know, there is more good than there is evil. And I, you know, feel personally responsible that if you're not going to seek it out, I'm going to bring it to you.
Right. Tell us more about how you do that, because you had, you know, your karma is so interesting. You had so many platforms to get your face out there, to get your voice out there, to get your point of view out there. And then that shift occurred and you had this moment. How are you doing that now? Tell us about all the ways that you're taking positive messages forward. What are the influential teachings that you've heard or that you've created? And how are you sharing all these? What channels are you using now?
I'm using mostly Facebook, and I'm starting to use LinkedIn a little bit more because I'm trying to really grow my speaking business to really go into audiences and talk to them.
Right.
I use Facebook because Facebook really seems to be about relationship.
Right.
And, you know, Twitter is just, you know, clever things in 100 and some characters. You know what I mean? And Instagram is wonderful pictures. And I do, you know, post some inspiration there. But, you know, God gave me these gifts and talents and abilities to speak. So I don't have a radio show anymore. I don't have a television show anymore. But I do have social media. And so I just figured, you know what? I don't have a boss that's telling me what I can or can't put out there. And so I'm going to do it my way. My audience will find me. You know what I mean? And so that's really what has been happening. And I have like the most amazing story to share with you, if I may.
You may.
About a month ago, I'll probably start crying though. A month ago, a woman, I get in my inbox on Facebook, a woman from Africa. She reaches out to me and she tells me that she is a lawyer and she is an advocate for women and children. And part of it is an orphanage. And she comes to my page every day for inspiration to share to these students and to these women. Wow. And I was like, oh my gosh, we have no friends in common. I do not know how she found me. But that just proves the power and the energy behind what you're saying. It will reach the people it needs to reach. But then we were talking and I said, I'm so glad you found me. But sometimes I feel like I'm just, you know, up here. No one's listening. And she said, I'm listening. And she said, and here's what I want to tell you. She said, I do come and check your page every day for inspiration. And I want you to mentor me. You kind of mentor me through this. And she said, I take what you say and I give it to women who have no access to the internet and don't even know what cell phones are. And that just humbled me. And I thought it doesn't matter if I don't have throngs of people listening. The people that need to hear it will find me and it will go to who it needs to go to. And so that's why I determined more than ever to keep putting this inspiration out there. I look for it. I look for it. And then I share it.
I love that. And that's why on our over at nobodysview.com, we define what nobody is, because people are like, oh, that's, you know, we say this all the time on this podcast. People say, oh, that's a negative term. No, it's not negative. It's actually a state of availability and openness.
Right.
And it doesn't matter if your good deed doesn't get captured on tape and go viral. It still makes a difference.
Yes.
So I love that you shared that, because isn't that interesting? Just that feedback from that one person kind of adds a level of accountability to your social media now.
Yes, it does.
Because it's because we've talked about that when we've talked to life coaches about having an accountability partner. And one manifested for you that you weren't even expecting. And you sort of have an accountability partner now that you'd never met before.
I know. And it's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. And I'm so humbled and blown away, but I'm more dedicated than ever. This world needs this. I mean, if you look at the news, if you look at the social media posts, that there is so much hatred and anger and, God gave me this gift. I have to use it in the way that I feel that I'm being led to use it. And that's to put positivity out there. Like I said, I don't have a radio show anymore, but I still have a voice and I'm going to use it to the best of my ability. And that's the thing. We all have those things. We all have that. And that's where step out of those stories that you tell yourself. I don't have a radio show. I don't have a TV show. Okay, but still do it anyway. Well, you just have to find a way. You know what I mean? I have excuses. You know, I'm old. You know, I'm 56 years old. I could say, you know, I've done that. I'm tired. No, you're never too old. You're never too young. We're always developing. We're never done. We're never done.
Right. That's right. And that's the beauty. You know, as difficult as social media can be, because we hear people talk about the value of unplugging. Absolutely. However, there is value in plugging in because all you have to do is go to twitter.com. You don't even have to use your real name. Pick an at name and get your message out. And again, it may not go viral tomorrow, but just showing up. I remember my dad always used to say, sometimes you may be the only person carrying the sign, but show up and carry it anyway. If you have a message, if you have a story, it doesn't matter. This is the beauty of the age we live in. It can be very difficult and it can be very intrusive at times, but it can also be very freeing and very liberating. I love that you bring that message to us. I love that. That is so important. That's the other side of the social media conversation.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know what? I just feel like, you know, you have a choice every day when you put a post up there. You know, you can either use this, you know, and you think about, I was thinking about the power of the my airwaves. Well, that's nothing compared to the power of the internet. You know what I mean? So you have a choice every day of what you put out there. What are you going to put out there? Are you going to use it to make things better in this world or to make things more chaotic?
That's an interesting transition. What's interesting is that one of the areas that it seems that you're passionate about is helping people to have difficult conversations with people who are in a difficult moment.
Right.
And that's an area, because we've been talking about communication on social media and how liberating that can be. But this is an area of communication that certainly a lot of people shy away from or are uncomfortable with, about how to handle difficult conversations, how to put something good out there when you're not really sure what to say. Can you talk a little bit about how you've worked on that part of your message? Can you tell us a little bit about your book and how you're bringing that message out there?
Sure. My book's called How Can I Help? And it was written because when we lost our son, we lost some of our best friends. And we were devastated by that. And over the years, as I was healing, I kept thinking, I wonder what that was about. And I figured out it was possibly three different things. There could be more, but this is what I figured out. It was just too close to home. It hit too close to home and it scared them, paralyzed them in fear. So you just can't move. You can't do anything when you're so scared. The second thing is that you want to do something, but you're afraid that what you're going to say or do is going to be the wrong thing and you're going to upset them or make things worse and make them cry. They're going to cry anyhow and they're already upset. The other one is that you really just don't have a clue. You don't know what to do or say. And I kept thinking, if only there was some kind of resource out there that could help people, you know what they could do or what they could say to help someone, boy, they could still be friends today because we aren't friends with these people anymore. And these people, you know, they were in our wedding. So, they were close friends. I'm not angry. I'm not, you know, this isn't a you should be doing this kind of book. It's right. It's not that at all. Right. It's that, okay, this is the situation, but these people really need your help. And you've just got to put your big girl panties on now, and you've got to step out of the fears that you have so that you can step out in love. Yeah. And that's the whole premise. But here is where I think it becomes full circle, because, you know, the stories that I was telling myself, who do you think you are? You're not a writer. You know, I wrote news copy at best. But it just kept nagging at me. You're the one that needs to write this book. You're right. The one that needs to do it. But I realized that I wasn't the only expert. So what I did was I interviewed people, and that's where I realized, oh my gosh, my job as an anchor and a reporter prepared me for this. Yes. I could interview people that have, you know, so when I put it out on Facebook to ask people if they would help me with this project, I had so many people that literally opened up their heart and soul and revisited that grief, whether it was from someone they loved that died, or the breakup of their marriage, or, you know, a diagnosis that they recently got from the doctor of cancer, or how they had to quit their job to take care of their parent with Alzheimer's, or whether they lost their job, you know, loss. These people who went through the trenches, and I asked them, how did your friends and family love you through this? And I compiled their answers and I put it into a book. And basically it says, you know, listen, here are the people that are telling you these things help. So pick something that's comfortable for you and just do it. Just do it. It will mean so much, and it will help so much. And, you know, it's so funny because every time I give this talk, people are crying because they do it. And it's either they're crying because they were abandoned by someone that they loved when they needed them most, or they realize they abandoned someone and they feel horrible about it. And that's when they say, oh my gosh, this book has helped me so much. And I'm so proud of this book because there really isn't anything out there like it. It will teach you how to get through grief, but it's a self-help, but it's not a help you help others, right. You know? And so that's what I love about it. But I think that I need to expand upon it because, you know, there are two other areas that I realize that I'm guilty of. I don't know what to say when someone, you know, drug addiction, that's a huge problem in this country, and incarceration.
Right.
And so I think I have more work to do, more work to do.
I love that you feel there's more. It's not just, I wrote this one book and now go take this. It's, boy, here are two other areas. I mean, are you thinking about taking maybe a similar path, like interviewing and bringing that firsthand knowledge back to us?
Absolutely. Wow. Yeah, because I'm not the expert, and you can't ask really a psychologist, you know, or a psychiatrist, or even a counselor, you know, what's the best thing that I can do for my, you have to ask the people that have been through it.
Right.
You know, those are the experts.
Right. And I love what you said. It's about taking that step, and it's so uncomfortable sometimes.
Oh. It is. It is. And it is still uncomfortable for me at times. But then I remember, because right before this book came out, three things happened within 36 hours of in my life. My parents called and told me that the doctor thought my dad had terminal lung cancer. My mother called me the next morning to tell me that my 16-year-old niece lost her mother. And then the third was, I went to work and a colleague told me that her daughter has a chronic lifelong illness that could be terminal at some point.
Wow.
And I all of a sudden felt exactly how I think other people feel. I was paralyzed. What was I going to say to my niece? I can't say anything that's going to make her mother come back. What can I say to my dad that might be dying? I didn't even want to get on the phone with him. And what do you say to your friend when your son is leaving for college and living this great life, and, you know, her daughter, you know, the next year might not be guaranteed to her.
Right.
And
right.
And then you know what the next thought was? You wrote this book. Maybe
right.
you need to revisit. And that's when I realized, I think that had to happen to me so that I could relate to how it feels when people are put in that situation, that fear.
And we're all experts in that situation
yeah.
because we've all been in that situation. Mm-hmm. So what you've really created through your book is sort of like a little paperback community, support community
yeah.
for all of us on earth to come together and figure out what do we do in these situations. I think that's fantastic. So with that book in mind and all that background and all the things that you do, what's a tip or tool that you can give our listeners? What can you give us right now, as soon as this podcast ends, that can help us on our personal journey of spiritual growth?
You know, a lot of time, I the thing that came to me is problem or possibility. And what I mean by that is, you know, we all have problems. We can either decide to focus on just the problem and the woe is me, and isn't that awful, and isn't that terrible, or we can look at the possibilities that can come of that. Wow. You know, I chose to, you know, I could have let my son's death, you know, define me as the mother who lost a child and had to, leave her television career, or I could let it refine me into a person that is going to take this information and see what I can do to make the world a better place. We all have that choice. We all have that. So you can either focus on the problems or the possibilities.
Wow. And I think that's a really strong connection back to your book, because sometimes when people are going through really difficult situations, it really, you know, I always think of it as obstacle or opportunity, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a moment right there where you can either say, oh, this happened, this is creating a problem in my life because it's upsetting me, I don't know how to react, or you can take it as an opportunity to really do some growth, get past that difficult moment, and take a step that really could help somebody at their darkest moment.
Absolutely. So that's what we're here to do.
Advice.
That's what we're here to do. We can't get through this thing called life alone. We have to do it with other people.
It's very, I always tell people, look, even if in my book, I wrote a book called The Nobody Bible. So at the beginning, I say, even if you're living in a cave, you're still living in relationship
yes.
to society. You've just chosen to live away from
right.
it. Well, away from is still a relationship, because you have to have something that's other than you that keeps you isolated. So we all have some relationship to society, no matter how much we want to think otherwise. So I love that you're really jumping into the fray, because that's one of the most difficult areas, I think, to help people, is helping people through their own discomfort.
Yes.
So I love that. And that brings us to the end of this episode of The Nobody Guide to Life. Sherry, thank you so much.
Jay, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, just beautiful advice. Thank you so much. And I want to remind our listeners, stepping into greatness is a good phrase to believe, to hear, or to say. But if you want to live it, well, then you have to take action. It's right there in the phrase itself. You have to take a step. And one of the ways we can take that step is by doing our best to help others and to inspire them, even when it may not be easy. Do what you can and do it consciously. And then you may be surprised at what happens. You can find out more about Inspirationista Sherry Dunlevy and her book, How Can I Help, at sherrydunlevy.com. That's SHERRIEDUNLEVY.com. The link will be in our show notes at thenobodyguidetolife.com. And you can always check out more episodes at thenobodyguidetolife.com. Reach out to us on Twitter and Facebook at Nobody's You, or join our Facebook community, Simple Spirituality. If you liked what you heard on this episode, please consider sharing it with someone you know. Keep practicing and have a good week.